Welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. This is a podcast that's aimed at the heart of women who love being a mom. Or maybe it's for those of you who wish you were a mom. You're just aching to be a mom, but it hasn't happened to you yet. This is a podcast that's going to be for those of you who are empty nesters. You wish you could do it all over again, and your heart is still turning toward that singular occupation and calling known as motherhood. This is a podcast for those of you who are in the trenches of motherhood. Your daily life is about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, about potty training, about driver's permits. It seems like you are mired every day in the sludge of what being a mom is all about. Well, welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. I'm so glad you've joined me this week as we talk about everything to do with being a mom. You know, some weeks we talk about potty training or sleeping at night, or we'll talk about parenting teens or homeschooling or infertility or fostering kids. But last week and for the next couple of weeks, I'm taking a unique approach to the podcast because, hey, listen, I just want to tell you, I don't have any answers that don't come from the Word of God, all right? Everything that I hold dear about mothering, I have actually extracted from the greatest book of all time, which is the Bible. So I thought we would have fun taking a motherhood tour through the Word of God. And we're looking at different women in the Bible who were either pregnant or were mothers, and we're learning from their stories. Last week, we looked at Eve and how she made a gargantuan mistake. And we talked about the fact that God can use what he didn't choose. And I tried to coach you, to convince you that no matter what your regrets are, no matter what mistakes you've made in your past, you can still be a great mother today. You can still raise children of influence and significance today, that your past doesn't determine the mother that you are today. And so we're going to continue that today in our tour of motherhood. We're going to study the story of Sarah in the Bible, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But first of all, I did want to remind you, I'm Carol McLeod of Just Joy Ministries, the mother of five, mother-in-law to four, and Marmy to the seven wonders of my world, which are my grandchildren. I love being a mom. I love being a grandmother. I love being a mother-in-law. There's nothing more significant any of us can do this side of heaven but to invest in the next generation. My goal has always been to wring the joy out of an ordinary day. And so that's what I want to help the next generation of mothers do. How to mother with joy. How to mother with purpose and with destiny. So you can go to my website, which is justjoyministries.com, and just peruse everything we have there. My personal favorite thing is to read a blog. They're devotions that you'll find on my website. My blogs have been listed in the top 50 faith blogs for women. So just scroll through and find one that's appropriate to your life and spend some time reading it. And then I'd also like to encourage you to hang out in the Just Joy store and see what product we have there to offer. You know, some of these teachings that I'm doing this time about pregnancy in the Bible and moms in the Bible actually come from my earliest book called The Rooms of a Woman's Heart. And you can buy that on my website, which is justjoyministries.com. And let me tell you one more thing. I'd love to come speak to an event, a conference, a brunch, a tea at your church or with your group of women. I speak to MOPS. I speak to women's groups at churches. I speak to breast cancer survivor groups. I speak to infertility groups. So whatever you can think of, I would love to come and leave a deposit in the lives of the women who are in your personal world. And you can contact me by emailing me at carol@justjoyministries.com. Okay, now let's get started. As I told you, we're doing a mom tour in the Bible. And today we're going to linger around the life of Sarah. Now, if you haven't ever heard her story, get ready for your world to be rocked, because this was an incredible woman. Sarah and her husband Abraham were very old. They were childless. They had a nursery that was empty or barren. They had waited for many, many decades to be parents, and it hadn't happened for them yet. And so they're dealing with waiting. How many of you like to wait? Not me. They're dealing with infertility. They're dealing with a lifetime of disappointment. I think all of us can lock into their story because we're all waiting for something. Life has disappointed all of us in some way or another. So let's begin by reading in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. This is God speaking to the ancient Abram. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so shall you be a blessing. So God is speaking to this father who's never had a child. So into Abram's barrenness, God spoke vision and purpose, and he gave hope to him. And you know, that's how God speaks to all of us who are longing, who are waiting, who are dealing for disappointment. Quit listening to your own pain and allow God speak purpose to you today. I don't believe that you're listening to this podcast by accident, but I believe some of you who have dealt with infertility or depression or with disappointment or with waiting, you're about to be encouraged today because of the words found on the sacred page. So at this point in the story, Sarai is 65 and Abram is 75. You know, usually when God speaks to one of his children, it's humanly impossible for it to happen. Isn't that the truth? Did you think that God was going to speak possibilities to you? No, he speaks impossibilities over your life. And as he speaks them, they become possible. We serve a God who can turn impossibilities into something not only possible, but something probable. Let's read ahead in the story in Genesis chapter 15, and I'm going to start with verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I'm a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Okay, pause. Let's stop right there. God is speaking to you, moms. God is speaking to you, sisters. God wants you to stop being afraid. What are you afraid about? Are you afraid that your kids are going to get sick? Are you afraid that somebody's going to take your kids? Are you afraid that you're not going to be able to pay the bills this month? Are you afraid that your husband's going to find somebody younger and skinnier than you are? Listen, God is speaking to you today from the Bible, and God is speaking and saying, "Do not be afraid. I'm a shield to you. I'll protect you. Don't you know who I am? I am the God who rewards his children." And Abraham responded, and he said, "Oh, Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." This is sort of a sad conversation that Abram is having with God, because Abram is blaming God for his disappointment. You know what, girlfriend? I wouldn't do that if I were you. If I was disappointed with life and didn't like the hand I'd been dealt, I wouldn't blame God. I would bless God. I would go to God with praise and worship and say, "You are the God to whom nothing is impossible. You can give me babies. You can give me a husband. You can heal my child. You can pay my bills." But don't go around blaming God for what you don't have. Verse 4. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And God took Abram outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And God said to Abram, "So shall your descendants be." You know, as human beings, when we blame God, when we're impatient, when we are tired of waiting, when all we see are impossibilities, do you know what God does? God takes us out of our small place and He takes us outside to count the stars with Him. Mama, I don't know what disappointment you're dealing with in life, but I want to tell you, the best time I've ever had in my life is counting the stars with God, is going outside of my own pain, my own impatience, my own disappointment, to look at the world as God looks at the world. You know, I do understand some of what Abram is going through here. He's impatient. He's not getting any younger. His biological clock and that of his wife is tick, tick, ticking away. But when you see the impossible, when all you see are your circumstances, God says, come on, get out of your pain. Let me spend some time with you and enlarge the scope of your possibilities. Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So Sarai's not in a very healthy place in these verses, and certainly you and I can relate to not being in a very healthy place emotionally. Sarai is dealing with deep disappointment, decades of infertility. And so she too blames the Lord. She said, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. And so Sarai tries to control the situation. Oh, none of you can relate to that, can you? Have you ever tried to control a situation? Have you ever tried to take a situation out of God's hands and put it under your human control? Sister, it didn't work for Sarai, and it's not going to work for you either. The worst mistake you can ever make is try to control a situation with your own solution, with your own answers. When blame moves to control, it will always take you to sin. Because the suggestion that Sarai made to Abram was not a righteous suggestion. It was sin. She said, Abram, why don't you have a relationship with my maid and see if she can have a child for you? You know, maybe Sarai was thinking, well, it will still be Abram's. God didn't say it would be my child, but it'll still be Abram's seed. You know, this was very uncommon. This was the patriarchal age in history when men were everything and women were nothing. Women were only possessions. The family cow had as much value in the family as did the wife. And the fact that Abram even listened to Sarai is an incredible fact to observe in this story. You know, you might think that marriage contracts came into existence in the 20th century, but that's not true. Marriage contracts are as old, nearly as old as recorded history, because at Sarai and Abram's time in history, there were marriage contracts that the wife would have to sign. And what she would sign was that after 2 years, if she had produced no male heir for her husband, then she would have to provide a female servant. Now, Abram had been patient because at this time we know how old they are. Sarai is probably 75 and Abram is probably 85. If they had gotten married when Sarai was 15 years old, Abram had waited 60, that's 60 years, for Sarai to give him a child, and it hadn't happened yet. Verse 3. And after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. This is a sad verse. Abram and Sarai, because of their impatience, because of their disappointment, gave into sin. You know, I know some of you are dealing with disappointment and impatience and waiting beyond human ability today. but never give in to sin. Never compromise God's will or God's plan for your life. You might be right on the verge of a breakthrough, so don't sin in your impatience. Genesis 18, verses 9 through 14. So let me give you a little bit of backstory here. So one day, Abram is just sitting outside his tent, just looking at his land, everything he owned, when three men approached his tent door. And Abraham went to meet them, bowed before them, and said, "Hey, come on in, sit a spell. My wife's a really good cook. Can we feed you? Would you like to stay a couple days? We'll bring some water. My servants will wash your feet." And they said, "Okay, we'll hang out here with you for a while." And so Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Come on, provide something. Cook up your best family recipe and bring it out to these three visitors that we had." Abraham ran and got a young calf from his herd and gave it to his servants to prepare for these three VIP guests that they had. They gave them curds and milk and just prepared a great dinner for these visitors. So that's where we are in the story. You're ready for what happens next? Genesis 18, verse 9. "And the three visitors said to Abraham, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' And Abraham said, 'Oh, she's over there in the tent.' And the visitor said, 'I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son.' And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind Abraham." Okay, Sarah was doing what any good wife would do. She was eavesdropping on the conversation that her husband was having with these three VIP guests. She wanted to know what they were talking about. Verse 11. "Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing." So I love it that the Bible gives us this fact. Let me tell you something. Abraham had false teeth, and Sarah was a shriveled up old prune. The honeymoon glow was gone, if you know what I mean. There was nothing in either of them to produce a baby in the natural. And Sarah laughed at herself, saying, "After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Isn't this interesting? You see, one of the visitors was the Lord. He was the Lord incarnate. The Lord had come to speak to Abraham this day. And it's interesting to me that the scripture says that Sarah laughed to herself. It didn't really come out. It was inside. But the Lord knew. The Lord knew that Sarah was laughing. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I'm so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Let the question roar through the ages, my friend. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? If you're a mother, you better be able to answer this question. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Can you potty train your child? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Will your baby sleep through the night? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Will your child make it through this school year with a cruel teacher? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Will you make it through the teen years? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Will your child get into college? Will your child earn a scholarship? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? My friend, this is a question that every mother must have an answer to. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Listen, you're not going to make it as a mother if you don't know the answer to this question. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. The Lord can heal your marriage. He can heal your children. The Lord can heal your finances. The Lord can help your baby sleep through the night and can help you get through the teachable twos with your children. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Lean in and listen to his voice just like Sarah did. She leaned in and listened to the Lord and she got her answer. She was going to have a baby and it brought her unbelievable containable joy. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Okay, let me just talk to you about your prayer life for a minute. Listen, all moms should have a prayer life. All moms should have an abundant, non-ceasing prayer life. Pray while you're changing diapers. Pray while you're nursing at night. Pray while you're doing the dishes. Pray while you're putting your kids to bed. Pray while you're brushing your teeth. Pray while you're taking them to soccer. You should have a prayer life that never ends. And often when I pray these words that the Bible tells us about Sarah. The Lord took note of Sarah. Often when I'm praying, I say, Lord, would you take note of me just like you took note of Sarah? Isn't that a good prayer? It's good to remind the Lord who you are. And I just say, Lord, I know that I'm every bit as important to you as Sarah was. So I'm praying this day that you will take note of me and that you will hear the cry of my heart. And Lord, while I'm praying, I just want to remind you that I know, I'm one of the moms who know that nothing is too difficult for you. Genesis 21:1. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Moms, I just want to tell you, God has an appointed time for your prayers to be answered. Now, it's been my experience that my chosen time is not God's appointed time, but Father knows best, and he's got just the right time to answer your prayers, just like he did for Abraham and Sarah. So don't be impatient. Don't play the blame game. Don't try to control your situation. Don't enter into sin, but lean in, listen to the Lord, and declare with what the Bible says, nothing is impossible for God. Lord, take note of me, just like you did Sarah, and I'm trusting that at your appointed time, you will answer my prayer. Genesis 21:3, and Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Remember, Sarah was 90 years old when she was nursing this baby boy, Isaac. Yet I have borne Abraham a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. So Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. God has restored my joy. Listen, if you can be patient with God, if you can pray without ceasing, if you can declare nothing is impossible to God, if you can be patient, if you can say, God, take note of me, I want to tell you at God's appointed time, the joy will be uncontrollable. Everybody around you will rejoice when they see the answer of God invade your life. You know what I've learned from Sarah? I've learned that some things are worth waiting for. I've learned that I serve a God to whom nothing is impossible, and that every mama needs to learn that lesson. My friend, you are never too old for God to do a great work in your life. No matter what mistakes you've made, and no matter how you've tried to control your destiny, you are never too old for God to do a great work in you, in your home, in your marriage, in your family. You're never too old, my friend, for your dreams to come true. Life has not passed you by. Keep your heart open and declare with Sarah and with me, nothing is impossible with God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Father, I thank you for this time together in the Word of God. And Father, I pray for all of those moms who are weary, who are weakened by waiting, who are discouraged because of their lives. Father, I pray that today you would infuse them with new hope, new joy, and new purpose as only you can do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So thank you for joining me today. Thank you for listening to my story. We're going to have a blast as we discover the joy of motherhood together. And as always, just let me remind you, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at carol@justjoyministries.com.